I'm just glad that His Word still works for today. I'm thankful for that. We don't have to trade it in or anything, but first one will be Luke 4:16. And this is a familiar passage, and I'm going to start with this one, and I'll tell you what I want to talk about tonight is tomorrow is the 4th, it's Independence Day, and the Declaration of Independence, near the beginning of it, it says, it has this line that a lot of people know: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." And you hear those three things a lot. And, I was thinking earlier today, I was thinking we're getting ready to celebrate, Independence Day tomorrow of the United States. But that word liberty kind of caught me of the three words or the three things in there. And, I was thinking, what does the Bible have to say about liberty? And I found there's a handful of verses, actually. And so we'll start with this one. But I've got three different passages. The first one will be a group of verses, and the next two will be single verses, but they all talk about liberty. And I like that. One of the problems is Adam and Eve, they gave up their freedom when they chose to rebel against God in the Garden of Eden. They had complete freedom to live and to do things. And then, as we've been talking about in Judges in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, they lost their physical freedom. They were in bondage many times over and over again when they disobeyed God and turned to the false gods of the people around them. So I want to look at real liberty tonight. So we're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word tonight. Thank You for the freedom that we have to assemble together tonight. And Lord, I ask that You'd use me. Fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us learn from Your Word tonight. And Lord, bring things to our remembrance, Lord. And I ask that the Holy Spirit would teach us all, give us wisdom, and help us to be alive. We love You and we thank You for all things. In Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. So this first passage is Luke 4:16, talking about Jesus. And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and He stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And He closed the book, and He gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He began to say with them, to this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." So I like this story, and I read a little more than the verse because I like this story in the Bible. He's back at Nazareth where He grew up, and He's in the synagogue on the Sabbath. And I like where it says, as His custom was, He was in church when church, in the synagogue when they had services, just like we're at church when the doors are open. And the way they did it then is the teacher, the minister, whoever was going to teach that day or bring the sermon, they would stand to read, and then they would sit to teach. That's how they did it. So He read that passage from Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, and then He stops reading, and then He gives it back, and He sits down. So He is getting ready to teach something, and all the eyes are looking at Jesus, and that passage is clearly talking about the Messiah. This is one of those Messiah passages, but He stops reading just before the verse gets ready to say, "And the day of vengeance of our God." So that passage covers two different times of the Messiah, His first coming and His second coming. And see, the problem was when He sat down, they were like, "Wait a second, you stopped before the part that we wanted to hear. We We want to hear the day of vengeance when Messiah comes and He overthrows the Roman government and He sets us free. But Jesus stopped right there. He said, that's later. We'll deal with that later. He stops right there and He says, listen, the day has come when the Messiah has come to heal the brokenhearted, when the Messiah has come to preach deliverance to the captive, give sight to the blind. That Messiah, who's full of grace and truth, was there upon them, and He sat down and He said, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. He's telling them right there. They were angry. They were like, wait a second, isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Joseph's son? But I'm glad that this is Jesus Christ, and I'm glad He did come to set us at liberty. And you think about, like I said, in the Old Testament, they were in physical bondage to their enemies. But today, there are so many in spiritual bondage today. They don't even realize it. The God of money, the God of sports and pleasure and career and entertainment and so many others has taken away their liberty today. They don't have the freedom that they think they do. They think they're enjoying it. They think they're finding satisfaction. But all it is just one way for the devil to get them to ignore the Messiah, Jesus Christ, to ignore the God of creation. I'm glad that God took on the form of man, came down to this earth, and He gave His life to sinners. Why? So He could set us free. There is no greater freedom than freedom from the bondage of sin through Jesus Christ. And you think about that. We celebrate our country being free. And it is. That's why we can come in tonight. That's why we can go on vacation and cross state lines without asking permission. That's why we can do all of these things. But it doesn't matter if you're still in bondage to the devil. And I'm glad for one thing. Jesus Christ is the only person that can set anybody free. There's no case that's too hard, no problem too big. He is the one. And I'm glad that when we look at the Bible, one of the biggest liberties that you see is Jesus Christ. And He's got the liberty to save. He can freely save us and set us free at the same time. I'm glad for that. I'm telling you what. You think about that verse to preach deliverance to the captives. And just think about it. That was us. To heal the brokenhearted. That was us. Yeah. To recover sight to the blind. Well, He was doing it physically, but He did it to us spiritually. And to set at liberty them that are bruised. I'm telling you what, we may have looked okay on the outside, but on the inside we had been buffeted by the devil and by sin for a while. I'm glad He set us free. But not only that, if you want to turn, the next ones will be in Galatians chapter 5. The other two liberties that I found, it'll be Galatians 5:13. And it says this, "For brethren, ye have been called into liberty, only not use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." So He is talking about, we already said that salvation not only freed us from the bondage of sin, but it also freed us from the law. And you can see that in multiple different places in the New Testament. They were, we don't have to, Brother Preston, offer the blood of bulls and goats and lambs that never really took away the sin, but just covered it up for a time period. Why? Because we had the eternal, spotless Lamb of God, the perfect Jesus Christ that was offered for the remission of our sins. But the Bible in this verse is talking about this liberty here is the liberty from ceremonial law. You know, people get caught up in it. Well, we've got to be a Christian and we got to follow all the Jewish rites and laws and everything. No, what that does is that puts you back into bondage to the law. That's exactly what He's saying right there. He's saying, I have freed you from it, but I have freed you from the ceremonial law, but I have not freed you from the moral law. He's saying, listen, don't use that liberty as an occasion for the flesh. Don't use that grace as a license to sin freely. He's saying, listen, I've set you free so that way you don't have to try to live up to a law that you never never could live up to and could never give life. But he's saying it doesn't have a hold on you. But I'm glad that that law, it used to have a hold on us, and it would show us, it would teach us where we fall short. But I'm glad that we've got a greater hold on us, and that hold is the love of Jesus Christ. It has a greater hold than the law ever did. I'm telling you what, I could sit here, if you're married, I could give you a list of rules and a list of things that you ought to do for your spouse, and that would make life easier, and write down a list and change the list and everything else. But you know what else I can tell you is what the Bible says. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That pretty much sums it up right there. Whatever Christ did to show love to the church, you show your wife the same love. And I'm telling you what, that genuine love that we have for Jesus and that He has for us, it will cause us to act differently. It will cause us not to want to let Jesus down. It'll keep us from doing things that'll tarnish the name of Jesus. And it'll keep us from turning our love to other gods from what Jesus deserves our whole life. And that genuine love, not only does it keep us from doing certain things, it also causes us to do things. You know, you do little things for your spouse to show them that you care. You're thinking about them and you love them. And I don't know about you, I like to do things for Jesus, not because I'm bound by it, not because I'm punching a time clock, not because I'm filling out a work order, but because He loves me and I love Him. I just like to do little things for Him that pleases Him, not because the law says so, but because of love.
Right.
My goodness. And if you want to know what the greatest example of how to serve Jesus is, it's Jesus. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And that could also mean serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. My goodness. I think about Jesus coming to this earth, and I think of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God of all creation. If anyone deserved to be waited on hand and foot the entire time He was here, it was Jesus Christ. But instead, He knelt down in that upper room. He took that pan and He washed His disciples' feet, showing them how much He loved and showing them how they should serve. My goodness, what a Savior chose to serve and die on the cross for us. So not only does that liberty that we have, that liberty it saves us, but that liberty also gives us freedom to serve Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And then the last one, Galatians chapter 5 verse 1. So if you go to the top of the chapter, it says this: stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled against the yoke of bondage. And He is talking again about freedom again. But not only do we that liberty allow us to be saved and allow us to serve, but it also says right there, stand fast therefore in the liberty. That liberty allows us to stand. And I'm glad that we can stand firm in the truth of Jesus Christ. We can stand against the corruption and the deception of this world. I'm telling you what, men and women have given their lives literally on the battlefields so that you and I can freely exercise our Christian life. So we can worship freely, we can pray freely, we can read our Bible, we can preach the truth, we can witness the awesome power of Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you what, every day that liberty is under attack. Every day the devil, he wants to lock down prayer. He wants to lock down where we can worship, what we can say, what we can do. But I'm glad we can stand here because of the freedom through Jesus Christ and through His Word and the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, the devil fights against us, but the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. I'm telling you what, the freedom doesn't mean anything unless we stand for something. The freedom doesn't mean anything unless when there's an attack, we come and we keep preaching the truth. Anyone can preach what the world does. Anyone can say what everyone loves. But it takes a special Christian to stand up and keep saying, thus saith the Word of God. Even in light of what society says. Even in light of what other churches down the road say. I'm telling you what, we're under attack. But that's not going to stop us. We're still going to stand. And every time I think about the devil attacking, I just remind myself that that the devil used to own me. He used to own you, but he doesn't anymore. We used to be in bondage. We used to be under his control, but I'm glad that a greater, more powerful one came across, and that's Jesus Christ. And the devil was no match. He tried to bury him in a tomb. He tried to steal the stone. He put a guard around it. He had death watching over. He had everything he had there to keep Jesus in that grave in death. If he could have done it, he would have tonight. But if him throwing everything at it on the third day, the stone was rolled away, the seal was gone, all the locks didn't, they were just all out of sorts, and then they looked inside and the tomb was empty. Praise God. That same power that rose Jesus from the dead is the same power that you and I have. It rescued us and it continues to help us. I'm telling you what, there will come a day where someone will try coming in here, they'll try to preach or teach another gospel. Paul warned us in his day that it was coming. It'll still be today. And I'm telling you what we can do. We'll offer correction. We'll offer the truth. But if they don't want to hear it, we'll offer the door. And that's it. Because we are going to stand for the truth. They will try, just like they tried back then, to come in here and make legalism and rules and different things. But like I said, all that does is put us back under the yoke of bondage and slavery. True freedom comes from the truth of Jesus Christ and His Word. There is no freedom other than His Word. Jesus said it Himself in John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And He said it true. There, I'm telling you what, you think about it. We come in and it feels like the world has us. It feels like the world is winning, but we can come in and we can preach the truth. But not only can we do it in here, we can do it in our homes. And not only can we do it in our homes, we can do it at our workplaces too. Because I tell you, even though He'll put rules in place, He'll put authorities that frown on it, you know what people really want to hear? They really want to hear the truth. They're being tired of being lied to. And I'm glad that the same liberty through Jesus that saved us is the same liberty that allows us to serve Him in love. And it's the same liberty that allows us to stand tonight. You think about that. What does the freedom really mean? It means nothing if you give it up. It means nothing if you never use it. And it means nothing if you were never really free in the first place. And you think about that. As we celebrate our freedom, I'm glad we have a free nation. But I'm even more glad that we've got a free church.
Yeah.
It's on the sign. It's free. He paid the price. But we're also free to choose each day whether we're going to take hold of that freedom and liberty, or whether we're not going to appreciate it. Because I think one of the problems is when you stop fighting for it, one day it's gone.
Yeah.
Didn't even realize it. And the devil was there to take it. People are worried about that on a country level. And that is a worry. But I'm more worried about that on an individual soul level. People that were free, that allowed the devil to creep back in, that went back to old habits, that stopped getting around solid teaching and replaced it with junk and falseness. And then all of a sudden they find themselves in bondage. Maybe the same bondage, maybe different. But I'm glad tonight we're free. You know what? You look across the world, freedom's the minority, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you look in our churches, the same thing. Freedom's the minority. This world, if they even knew we were here, and they heard the message I preached the other morning, they'd be raining down on us, they'd be protesting and everything else. But you know what? We're going to have to stand before God, each one of us. And I just want to be able to say, King of Kings, you gave us a message, and we gave it out. You gave us a guidebook and we lived it out. That's it.
That's all I want. Let's get everyone to stand. We're